So how are you all? Hope you are all happy and healthy and safe out there wherever you are. Yes, it is Burns night tonight, so we thought we would just put together a little basic guide of what happens at a Burns supper, because so many of you have reached out and asked what goes on. I am not an expert, so I thought I would bring in someone who is. Now, he's a very, very dear friend of mine. He's a friend of the channel, and he's also been a guest on Scottish Memories, Gareth Morrison. Gareth, hello, how are you?
Hello. Very well. How are you?
I'm very well. Happy Burns to you, my friend.
Happy Burns to you.
It's a bit early in the day. I've not quite got a whiskey yet.
Well, I mean, whiskey's for any time of the day, but, you know, for us Scots, it's a very special day.
It is a special day. It's not a national holiday, though.
No, it's not a national holiday, but it should be.
It probably should be.
It should be a national holiday with every household getting a free haggis. Or veggie haggis.
Because, I mean, I actually, to tell you the truth, I don't even know if St. Andrew's Day is a national holiday. But we don't really do anything. We don't do anything really for St. Andrew's Day. We, as opposed to the Irish doing St. Paddy's, we generally do Burns more than St. Andrew's.
I think, and again, you know, probably get corrected, but we probably do more for St. Paddy's Day than we do for St. Andrew's Day.
Yeah. In fact, there was a time in my younger days where I did more for Australia Day than I did for St. Andrew's Day.
But what we do is we do a lot for Burns Night.
We do. And that is why I've got you here today, because I don't know the right description if you are a Burns tribute act or a Burns reciter. What is your type?
I'm just an actor who does a bit of Burns.
You tend to be the face that pops up quite like on everything I see now. Like your Burnsy outfit.
Yes, it's been a really good gig over the last, God, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years, maybe longer. It's been a really good gig for me, and the company that I work for. You know what we have now is what's known as Burns and Beyond. Well, certainly Edinburgh. And further on, everyone has a lot of Burns thing going on, but Burns and Beyond has become quite a big festival in Edinburgh over the last couple of years. Before that, it was Red Rose Street and other variations, but just now it's settled into what's known as Burns and Beyond. So, you know, you've got a lot of history in there, you've got some Burns in there, but you've also got modern day poets, you've got musicians, Scottish folk groups, all this kind of stuff. So just celebrating Scottish culture, tying in with Burns. So it's become a really big thing over the last few years.
So with this year, before we go on to explaining generally what would happen on a Burns night, what's happening this year with it all? Because obviously there aren't Burns dinners happening, Burns suppers happening.
I know. Well, for myself and the Burns and Beyond, there's a whole online festival going on. So if people want to check it out it's over 3 days, but I mean, it'll stay up for, you know, however long. People can log on to burnsandbeyond.com. They can check out. There's a whole feast of stuff going on there. Like I say, there's musical performances, there's Burns, there's other poetry. There's just a whole feast of stuff going on to celebrate Burns Night. And yeah, I think it'll be available for a long time after Burns Night as well. So if people want to log on, just check it out. Scroll through the website. There's plenty to see. There's stuff for the kids. A couple of my friends who are called Macastory, they make Burns accessible for children.
That's cool.
All ages. So, you know, if parents want to introduce their children to Burns, just jump on, have a look at Macastory or any of the stuff. Because I know that I actually get a few messages from schools and parents and children about some of my recitals on YouTube. You know, ask them if they can use them. Because a lot of kids, Scottish kids, get, you know, asked to learn a few lines of Burns for school.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great thing. I mean, a lot of kids don't understand what's going on. You know, it's a bit frightening because what is this language? But, you know, to learn a few verses, it's really good, I think, for kids. So I get a lot of messages, especially on my address to the haggis. People, you know, use that to research it and learn how to say it and all this kind of stuff. So I think it's great.
Yeah, and it's something that, because obviously, I can't remember if I told you this before, I used to host a Scottish night in town as well. Although it wasn't a burnt supper, it definitely had elements of it. And the address to the haggis then was always a big thing. But we did an abbreviated version because for a lot of it was all visitors to Scotland. And the address to the haggis is no short poem. It's quite long. So we did a shortened version because they would be sitting there to a lot of things that they don't understand.
I know. I've seen a few different versions over the years where people, they start off great and then they go, I said this verse and is it this verse now? And I think I've missed out this. So they jump back and forward or they skip loads of it. And I saw one once and a guy did it in Mandarin.
Wow.
And it was very impressive, very impressive. But what he tried to do was he was trying to do a verse in Old Scots and then the verse in Mandarin and then... So it went on quite a while, but he got himself really confused at one point. But to hear it done in Mandarin is really, really impressive.
Yeah, that's quite impressive. I can remember when I was learning it, the team that I was working at the time just kept telling me to shut up because whenever I wasn't working, I was just sitting there, hey, honest, honest face, great chief to know the pardon me. And they were going, go and just go to a different room. Because it took me forever. It took me forever.
I know, it's a tough old learn. But I mean, like going back to the guy doing Mandarin, I think... you know, what we forget is Burns just isn't a Scottish tradition. You know, worldwide people celebrate Burns and have their Burns suppers, Burns nights and all this kind of stuff. It's incredible.
So since we're not getting out to Burns suppers, although I will be having a brawy haggis for myself tonight and maybe tomorrow some leftover. Let's talk through what would be happening at a traditional Burns night. Obviously, we'll not go into too much detail, but just for anyone who's never been to one, how would it get kicked off? What would be the start of it?
Well, and I don't class myself as an expert on the subject, but having been to a few and performed at plenty, you know, I think they're a great night. And but I suppose we should start with, and we've kind of touched on it anyway, the whole point of it is to celebrate Burns. It's a night dedicated to Burns and his work. And I think this is a fact somebody might jump on and tell me otherwise, but I remember being told that the very, very first Burns Supper took place, or Burns Night, took place in 1801. And it was a few of his friends got together a few years after his death. They got together, had a haggis, a dram, and they celebrated Rabbi Burns' work. And I believe that was the first one, 1801.
I've heard the same story. So, I think you're right.
So here we are, hundreds of years later, we're still doing it, we're still celebrating. So say it was a traditional time, you went to, you know, they're held in clubs, rugby clubs, venues, great halls, churches, they're held all over the place. Now what would happen is, as the guests arrive, you would have a piper outside, he would pipe in the guests, make everybody welcome, they'd all take their seats. And once everybody had sat down, piper had finished playing, the host would either get on stage or get up or go to a podium or something, and he would welcome everybody, he would say a few words about Burns, a wee bit of Burns history, thank everybody for coming, and then to kick off proceedings he would do the Selkirk Grace, which goes, let me see if I can remember it. It's very short,
very short.
He would say, some hae meat and canna eat, and some would eat that want it. But we hae meat and we can eat, and say the Lord be thankit. So that's just a nice way to settle everybody down, open the proceedings, and then out would come your starter. Now, traditionally, I've been told it was always cock and leeky soup, which is, it's like a broth, chicken, barley, rice, leeks, that sort of thing. Obviously, over the years, people have, you know, jazzed up a bit. You know, Scotland's got, as we've talked about before, Scotland has some of the finest food produce in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, nowadays you could be expecting to get, you know, salmon, or if you're vegan, there'll be a vegan option, there'll be vegetarian starters. But, you know, for me, if you want to go down traditional route, a wee bowl of cock and leeky soup.
I'm sure I've been to a Burns supper where it was just oatcakes. It was oatcakes and some bits and bobs at the side of that as well.
Yeah, so some folk just do a wee oatcake starter. But some folk, and I think you said this before as well, some folk give a haggis starter. Get that out of the way first.
Yeah.
Now, I don't agree with that. I think the haggis is one of your main players of a Burns night. So to get that out of the way early for a starter, for me, isn't the right thing to do. But again, you know, like I say, not everybody likes haggis, so.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why we used to do it at the show I did, because everyone was coming in for a meal and to experience Scotland. But for a lot of them there, they had never had haggis before. A lot of them were afraid of it. A lot of them
I know.
I was like, let's just give them it as a starter so they can taste it if they want it, but they're still going to get a meal that they can enjoy just in case. Because for a lot of people, it's the same with a lot of things, I suppose. It can sound intimidating, and it's a shame because it's gorgeous.
I know, it really is. I was at one years ago and I was performing at it, and it was a haggis starter. I think it was haggis bonbons and some other bits of bonbons. It was nice. It was really nice. But then that was the starter. The main was a beef Wellington.
Right.
Now, that's great on any other night. But for me, on a Burns night, have that as your main. That's no.
I agree. It has to be haggis for your main, of course. So okay, we've had our starter. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, so this is why I've got such a problem with people having haggis to start them, because this is for me, this is the main show. This is the main player. So if you're at a Burns supper, the piper would come back in. He would be leading the procession. Behind him would be the chef with a tray of haggis, a big chieftain haggis, a proper big one. Yeah. And then behind him, either the host or a performer, or like myself, you get an actor to come in and do the address to the haggis. And the piper would pipe the haggis all the way up onto, like I said, stage or the main floor, whatever is in front of all the guests. He'd lay the haggis down, piper would stop, and then in comes either the host, the performer, or an actor to do the address to the haggis, which is a big thing. And again, like you say, it's a long thing, so I won't do it here, but I mean, maybe you can link it to my version on YouTube if you want to see how it's played out. So
you know what, I've got if you, I'll put a link in the description to obviously Burns and Beyond. I'll put a link in the description to your address. And also, about 2 years ago, I did one where I did a Scottish verse and then I translated it into English. So I'll put a link to all three and people can check them out.
Yeah, a lot of people they watch it and you know, obviously they enjoy it, but they just don't know what half of it means.
Yeah.
You know, and as I mean, even for us Scotsmen, you know, I'm guilty way back in the day. I didn't know what it meant. You know, it sounded good and I liked it, but I didn't know half of it. So, you know, that's a good thing. But yeah, so the address is given and everybody, at the end of it, everybody toasts the haggis. They get their dram, they toast the haggis, and then obviously it is presented as the main meal, which, as we know, just your classic haggis, neeps, and tatties. And of course, a little bit of whiskey sauce.
The thing is, it's quite early in the day right now. It's making me hungry just thinking about it. I'm getting quite hungry for a haggis.
I usually have a haggis every day over the Burns period. So let's say, give myself 4 days, haggis every night.
And I suppose for you, if you're doing it in lots of different places, it's not as if it'll be the exact same dish. Because it'll taste slightly different with each chef, and maybe a whiskey sauce, and maybe a different type of sauce. You know, I've seen red wine sauce with it as well. So,
absolutely. I mean, haggis itself. You know, obviously there's different people make different haggises, different butchers and different makers and all this kind of stuff. But essentially, haggis is kind of just the same. But a lot of the chef put in, you know, they'll put something extra into their tatties or their neeps or, like you say, the sauce. You know, that's where they'll try and jazz it up a bit, or they'll make it look fancy. You know, you get your wee circle of neeps, and then your wee circle of potato, and then haggis on top.
Whatever
I don't like, because I like to spoon it on. You know, I just like to spoon that haggis straight on.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it where, you know, it's beautiful and it's like a tower of neeps, then your potatoes or haggis or whatever order the chef's put it in. But you see, when I see that, I'm like, that doesn't feel like a big portion. Just being greedy. And I have to say as well, when I do get it, I just mix it all. I'm like, no, because it has to be a spoonful of everything when you're eating it. And a forkful. I'm mixing it together anyway. So I'm like, give me a pile of it all.
I know. Well, that bit especially for me, you know, that's over too quickly. The eating of the haggis is just over too quickly. And again, you know, there might be a side plate of oatcakes or something like that cutting about, but, you know, the haggis is the star of the show for sure.
So we've had you've done the address, we've sat, we've enjoyed our haggis. Where do we go from here?
So again, now traditionally, I believe it's this way around, but there's variations. So for me, next, once the main's all cleared the way and the guests are just happily full of haggis, it'll be the immortal memory. So somebody will come along and give the immortal memory, which basically just, it's just a celebration of you know, Burns's spirit. So they'll talk about what he means to Scotland, what he still does mean to Scotland, what he means to the world, all these kind of things. Now people might add in, so say like it's a Burns supper for like a rugby club or something like that, they might then try and tie in somebody that's important to their organisation in the immortal memory. So it kind of ties them with Burns and what Burns stood for and what that person stood for. So there's a lot of that goes on. I was at one a couple of years ago and the immortal memory tied in with Social Bite, which, you know, is a great homeless charity here in Edinburgh. So, you know, they tied in all the works of Burns and all the humanitarian stuff that Burns was known for, and then they tied it in with what Social Bite does. So things like that is generally, you know, what the immortal memory stands for and what somebody could talk about. And again, it can go on for, you know, a long, long time, depending on the speaker, or it can be nice and short. I mean, like a nice sort of medium one, you know, something that's interesting, entertaining, and then that's it. But if it goes on too long, nobody wants that. No. Nobody wants that.
It's the same speeches at a wedding. Yeah, there's a time limit, you know what I mean? There's a time limit.
I know, because this part of the supper, and like I said before, it kind of varies. It just really depends on the organisers, I suppose. But so you've got the immortal memory, which for me would be first. Then you've got the toast to the lassies. Sometimes that comes first. So the toast to the lassies, a male will get up, and he'll do a speech, and, you know, it'll be light-hearted. It'll be a nice night, light rib on females, and you know, obviously nowadays there's a tendency to get a little bit too risky on it and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, it should be just a nice little toast to the females.
Yeah,
and then straight after that, it will be the return from the lassies. So a lady will get up and then she'll just destroy the man that's just been up. who thinks he's done a good job. He's got a couple of laughs. She gets up and 9 times out of 10, she'll absolutely destroy him.
Yeah.
But again,
this was traditionally, when I first started learning about Burns, the toast of the lassies and then the retort, the toast of the laddies back. The toast of the laddies, I feel, is more of a newer thing. Modern, I don't know how new, but I was it not originally, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, because the Burns Night would mostly, in days gone by, be men, and the lassies would unfortunately just be in the kitchen. So the toast to the lassies would be to say thank you for them cooking all this meal. Nowadays, obviously, everyone's in the party. So
yeah, exactly. So, times have obviously moved on. You know, and you're right, it was very a male dominated thing. But yeah, now it's completely equal, and like I say, 9 times out of 10, the lady gets up, absolutely destroys the man. But it's all supposed to be lighthearted, it's in good humour. You know, there's no mean spirits about it. That's how it's supposed to be done. I have seen some that have gone completely wrong. People have gone off in a completely weird tangent. I was at one years ago, and I hope the guy's not watching, but he got up to do his toast to the lassies, but it just turned into a broken hearts. Will somebody go out with me? And he, like, God bless him, he was an older fella, maybe sort of late 50s, 60s, I'm going to put him at. And he basically just poured his heart out to the entire room about how he's never had a love. And he was just basically asking for somebody to go out with him. It was such a shame.
I've just got images of going, we're here to celebrate, all the girls aren't they beautiful, I do, I would love a wee kiss, if there's a wee kiss going anywhere later on, I wouldn't say no.
It wasn't far off it. He was like, oh, Burns loved the ladies and ladies loved him, but they don't love me. It was along those lines, you know.
Oh, wee shame.
It was a shame, but, you know. 9 times out of 10, they're good, they're funny, it's light-hearted, and you know, it just keeps the evening going along nicely. And then once those three are over, then we bring out the dessert, which, again, traditionally for me is a Kranichen.
Yeah.
Summer berries, cream, toasted oats, honey, bit of whiskey. But obviously over the years, people have adapted, and there's all kinds of different stuff. But for me, definitely a Kranichen would be on my list for a Burns supper.
Yeah, I like a Kranichen. I've did a video in the past on how to make a traditional Kranichen. But I can't remember, outside of a Burns supper, getting a Kranichen. You know, it's not something that you often see on a menu. And it's a very basic, but it's a lovely dish. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. Nice. Occasionally you'll get some weddings and stuff like that. But no, you're right, out with the Burns supper. I don't have Kranichen any other time of the year.
No.
Again, like you say, it's such a simple thing to make and it's really nice. So, you know, if any viewers want to sample one of them, because it's easily made, you know, and everything's ready available. So that's something to look into. So yeah, the dessert goes by, and then obviously the host will finish the evening with a vote of thanks to everyone that came along. Everybody will have a dram, they'll toast that, and then again, there's variations of this, but for me, you would do, the host would lead a round of Auld Lang Syne. Everybody stands up, sings that, holds the hands, toast the whiskey, and then you would follow that up by, you know, a ceilidh for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it could be straight into the ceilidh and then Auld Lang Syne to finish your evening. But for me, after your dessert, after the host says his vote of thanks, then it's time for Auld Lang Syne, and then it's ceilidh thing.
I have to say as well, for anyone who's never been to a ceilidh, if you go to a proper ceilidh, a good band, and everyone's in the mood, because there's nothing worse than being a ceilidh where people aren't really want to dance. But then I suppose that's the same with any dancing event, and no one's want to get up. But if you throw yourself into a ceilidh and you just go with it, they are genuinely one of the most fun things you can spend your night doing.
Absolutely. And again, it is that thing of, if you're at a good Burns supper, the ceilidh band would usually have a caller, which means somebody will talk you through the steps, teach you how to do these dances, and, you know, people just get involved. So you don't know how to do the dance. Yeah. All you've got to do is get up, listen to a couple of minutes, just follow the steps, and pretty much watch everybody else. And then before you know it, you're flinging each other about, you're having a great time.
Yeah, we used to do it, again, back to the show I used to host. We didn't do a full ceilidh, but it was just a taster for everyone. So we used to ask for just not a lot, 4 or 5 or 6 volunteers. Well, obviously, it would be an even number. And we'd just quickly teach them the Gay Gordons, the most basic, but probably the most famous Scottish dance, really. It's the one, you know, were you the same when you were at school at Christmas? It was learning Scottish country dances.
there was a lot of that, but I was a pretty big kid, so I was always picked last. Not to be the sad sack that I was telling you about earlier on. But I was picked last, but you know, I tell you what, I could fling people about.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I can remember every Christmas at school, instead of PE or gym or whatever you want to call it, it was learning Scottish country dances. That's what we did. The Gay Gordons was always here. And I can remember, it was always easy to get 2 or 3 couples because I didn't read too much. We didn't have a lot of space at the front of the stage. I would stay on the stage and we'd just have a bit enough at the morning at the front for them to do it. So again, I would call it and we'd teach them very simply the Gay Gordons, and then we'd do one round of the Gay Gordons. We'd get them to go around all the tables. And then it was nice and it was friendly and everyone would get a feel for it. And I remember doing it one time, and it was a brilliant group. It was a few different groups from all over, and there was just one woman who was properly, like, she was up for it. And no sooner had I said, right, we need a couple of volunteers, she wasn't at the front bit for the dancing. She was up on stage behind me, and I was like, oh, hello. I said, okay, just down there, if that's okay. I had no idea how she got onto the stage so quickly, honestly, but she was bang up for it. And then I can't remember who our partner was, but I do remember going, oh, I feel sorry for him, because she was whirling him around the dance floor.
I saw one years ago. There was a, let's say, we'll call it a larger lady, and her husband was rake thin, absolutely tiny, and she was throwing him around the dance floor. Everybody was watching him. This poor wee guy was just getting absolutely chucked left, right and center. She was flinging him about. She was having a great time. I'm not sure he was having the best of times, but you know, it really is that spirit. Once you get going and you get fully involved in it, it's such a great time. And obviously, you know, dress. We should talk about the dress. You know, if you're going to go to a Burns supper, then obviously for the male is the kilt, and then if you're doing your ceilidh, there's nothing better than twirling about with your kilt.
Yeah,
twirling about. You know, it's such a great garment for that kind of dancing.
Yeah, it really, really is. Especially when you, like, if we're talking about really whirling people about the dance floor, once you get to like the eights and reel, then you're really, you know, you're flying by that point. And to any ladies out there who maybe go to a ceilidh for the first time, if you're dancing with someone who knows what they're doing and they're doing eights and reel, hold on. Hold on.
There's always one or two that just take it too far.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, we know you're strong, but you don't need to be doing that.
Yeah, I think as a basic Burns night from start to finish, that kind of covers it, really, doesn't it? Of course, we're not going into end staggering home. That's your own thing. You've got to do that yourself.
You know, if you get to that stage where you're absolutely blittled, then you know you're on your own. You get your own way home. But again, like it's like you say, nobody's going to be doing that this year. But the good thing about Burns supper, if you're doing it at home, you can choose any elements of that you want, you know.
Yeah,
you can just have a straight up haggis and chicken tatties, or you can maybe play a bit of bagpipe music. You can look up all the poems and recitals and all this kind of stuff online. You can play them in. You can get dressed up at your home.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I know tonight I'll be having a haggis and chicken tatties, and I'll be having a wee dram, and I'll just, you know, and I'm genuinely looking forward to it.
I know it won't be the same, but it's still, you know, it's still a national celebration. You know, there's so much going on. All you gotta do is just, you know, just look for stuff online. So much,
yeah.
You know, ode to Burns out there, that, you know, even your guests abroad, they can find as much Burns as they want.
Yeah, and it really is. It's even though it's probably our traditional thing, I have been fortunate enough to be reached out from people all around the world, America, Canada, Australia, a lot in Central Europe and everything that as well. And the Burns suppers happen all around the world now. And it is just an incredible, incredible night. If you've never been to one, I think you've got to try it at least once.
No, I've just been reached out to by a lady in Spain and a guy in France the last two nights. I think it's crazy that, you know, they are as much celebrating Burns as we are.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. It's again, in this sort of day and age, it's nice that we've still got these little things that can pull everyone together, even in a little way.
I know, exactly. But then, you know, that's what Burns stood for, really, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's why, you know, he endures for as long as he has. You know, he has that appeal.
Yeah, and his words, for lack of a better description, have ingratiated themselves. Ironically, when I'm talking about words, I can't say them. ingratiated themselves into so many aspects of life today. I mean, we could go into Auld Lang Syne, but we could go into lots of them. I bet you people quote Burns all the time and don't realise they're doing it.
Absolutely, you know. Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining me and helping me chat through a Burns night. And tonight, when I'm having my whiskey and my haggis, I will definitely raise a wee glass to you, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, have a great Burns night and stay safe.
Yep, lang way your lung reek.
So there you have it, guys. Just a nice little basic guide with some stories thrown in for the sake of it, of what would happen if you ever get the opportunity to go to a Burns night, so you don't go along and sit there and have absolutely no clue of what's going on. I hope you've enjoyed that. If you have, please remember, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and leave a comment as well. But till next time, bye, humans.